This is a special presentation on 95.5 WSB. Coronavirus, where Georgia stands. Here's your host, Chris Chandler.
Well, Georgia's on the whole country's mind tonight after blistering criticism from President Trump himself. Governor Kemp today has said a public prayer, and he has pressed forward.
We had the best economy we've ever had in Georgia. We had the lowest unemployment rate we've ever had since we started keeping records at 3.1%. We have been the best state for business 8 years in a row, and it has all tumbled off a cliff like it has in every state.
Good evening. We have all watched and felt it happen, crazy as it is to say, though, from painful to painfully slow is at least some improvement, and today marked the reopening of more Georgia businesses. Is that safe? Is it enough to do any good financially? How far out on a limb has our governor put himself with this? You tell us tonight for the next hour. Give us a call, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Also, we'll take your questions or your comments on the open mic under WSB Radio app. We have got a usual group tonight of health and money political experts to mull all this over with you and me. We'll start with our state capitol reporter, Sandra Parrish. And Sandy heard Governor Kemp's 65-minute, an hour and five-minute press conference live on WSB this afternoon. A couple of headlines. What was your big takeaway?
The big takeaway is that he's still a big Trump supporter. I mean, despite the criticism that he received himself last week for beginning to reopen Georgia, he says he still supports and respects the governor, the president, basically, he backed up his reasoning for doing that. He needed it for the economy. But he said, you know, Georgia, in his mind, is on the trend of where it needs to be. The cases plateauing now. We have the hospital capacity, adequate testing, ramping up contact tracing. So he says he's looking just beyond the data. He's looking at talking to local health officials on the ground to make those decisions. But he says obviously, he's still a big Trump supporter, and he says all the governors in all of the states, you know, have a good relationship with the president at this time, that he is actually listening to all of their concerns.
WSB political analyst Bill Crane. Bill, I won't say that the governor sounded sensitive or even oversensitive, but undeniably, he sounded defensive.
There were moments in the 75 or so minutes of that press conference that he was a little prickly with some of the questions he got, particularly from a couple of television reporters in the market. But given the amount of heat he's taken since this announcement last week that we were going to begin to reopen the economy in Georgia, and I don't think he was oversensitive. But yeah, he definitely got his back up a few times. I thought it was a strong performance, both his grasp of the numbers and the situation. And one of the points that I thought he made most effectively, he talked about Phoebe Putney Hospital down in the Albany area, which was the site of one of the most hot spots of COVID-19 infection due to a super spreader and several church funerals down there. And that CEO of that hospital telling him their peak utilization day to date was March the 31st. So that even in the hottest of hotspots in Georgia, the demand for hospital rooms, ICU beds, ventilators is on the decline.
WSB Money Matters host Wes Moss joins us as well tonight. Wes, this is purely anecdotal. I was just hearing the same thing, though, from Alan Sanders, who's going to be taking calls after this program. He lives in Cartersville. If I had to sum up here in Atlanta today, the restaurants in particular, I would say some opened, most did not. Rich Clark here is a restaurant owner in Roswell.
This isn't even about making any money. This is about just having some entrepreneurship spirit and getting a running start on what's going to be a very, very, very difficult time.
We've heard it for weeks. Wes, we're reopened, but how are we ever going to increase capacity to the point where these guys can really start making money again?
Some of the restaurants, Chris, that have done takeout, some of them have done it really well. For the most part, it doesn't quite pay the bills. So a restaurant that's up to 30% capacity can kind of keep the lights on and keep people employed because their expenses have come down to some extent. And we've seen some stories where we have places like Shake Shack that are doing even more business because of takeout. But in general, I think that what we just heard from a listener is the spirit of a lot of entrepreneurs in Georgia. And that is, hey, it's going to take a while to reboot this computer. It doesn't happen in a second or two. It's going to happen over time. And I think it makes a lot of sense as an entrepreneur just at least to be able to get started and then put all these protocols in place, because the business owners from every single industry have to figure out a way to keep their patrons safe, and it doesn't happen overnight.
1-800-404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Take your questions, your comments here as more of Georgia opens up for business today. Lucky to have with us again tonight, Dr. Marhad Adeshaoui joins us again, an emergency physician whose expertise a great help to us a couple of weeks ago. And I'm going to show a moment, Doctor. I'm going to flash a rare moment of self-awareness because it probably drives you crazy to hear us talking about politics at the top of this show. Compared to what I'm sure you still see every day. Doctor, can you hear us?
Hello, I'm sorry. Yes.
Oh, it's all right. I was just asking you, we let off the show with politics. You're on the front lines. You must, I imagine, not want to hear much about politics, and yet always the way here we go.
Yeah, no, I appreciate being on the show. Politics and medicine have had a funny way of intertwining the past couple months, so that is completely okay. I would love to answer any questions tonight, so y'all can go ahead.
Yeah, well, tell us what you're seeing versus, or does it match what you're hearing both from Governor Kemp today or from President Trump? Testing is still the top subject in everything we're hearing from both the state and the federal levels. Here in Georgia, the number of tests given as of the noon update, 127,169 here in Georgia. Governor Kemp saying we have moved from 42nd to 36th in per capita testing, and he was talking today about expanding further with a kind of a mobile unit that's going to rotate between, I think it's Milledgeville, Tifton, and I think it was maybe even Augusta, I think it was. So, you know, you tell me based on what you're seeing, whether you're agreeing with what you're hearing on the radio and TV.
So I'm actually not agreeing with Governor Kemp today. Surprise, surprise. But the reality of the fact is that me personally, if we rank 30-something in the United States and the number of testing, if that is worth losing lives, then that's on him. I don't agree with that, but that's me. Also, if you want to look at the actual numbers, as of a couple days ago, of course, I don't know today exactly, but as of a couple days ago, we were averaging testing about 40 tests per 100,000. And that is not nearly good enough. Harvard came out and said about 150 or so tests per 100,000 is what we need. And so we're not anywhere close to where we actually need to be in terms of testing. I don't really also understand what he's referring to in the way of tracking. Everything seemed a little bit subjective, a little bit vague. The tracking we can ramp up, that's fine, but if we're starting at zero and we're going to 5, for example, where we need to be at 105, then that doesn't make much sense to me either. And I have a perfect example of that. I actually had just the perfect case for this conversation a couple nights ago, where I had a young female that needed to be tracked because she eloped from my ER with positive COVID. And I didn't get the chance to tell her that because she had eloped. Nobody saw her leave, but she left. So now here she is somewhere in the community spreading COVID-19. So that's what I mean. The tracking has got to improve. Everything he was saying was vague. And when he was kind of talking about the plateauing as well, I don't agree with that either. A plateau, you know, you could have, it's true that today we had less number of positive cases as opposed to yesterday. However, then you look at the day before and the day before that, you know, one day of a lower number, it means nothing. You have to look at it over the course of a few weeks. To answer your question, no, I do not.
No,
agree.
Right? To answer the question, no. All right. On the subject of testing, Mark is in Sandy Springs on WSB. Man, appreciate you giving us a call tonight. What's on your mind here?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about testing and the related topics with it. I don't get all this testing thing that everybody keeps promoting. My thinking is this. Yeah, testing would help, but it's like we've gone crazy with testing. Everybody has if I go into work on a Monday and they test me and I test negative, that doesn't mean when I go into work Tuesday and they don't test me. In other words, I don't see it. Just it seems like we're doing a lot of stuff, testing, 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 and I don't see the effectiveness of it, it seems to me that you'd have to test everybody in the United States every day to be accurate with testing. Like I said, you go into work Monday, they test you, and you're negative.
Let's ask the doctor about that. You know, it's a point. You take your temperature every morning if you think you got a cold, and there certainly aren't enough tests to do what he's just describing.
Yeah, I've heard several people come up to me with that exact question, and it's valid. I completely get that. What I would say to that is testing is very important because we have to have something. We need to know something, because if with that rationale, we shouldn't test anybody for anything, right? Why would I check my diabetic, you know, blood glucose level? Well, you're diabetic. Take your medicine. You should be fine, I hope. Today's glucose is good, tomorrow's is not, I hope. So, you know, if that's not a good, we just can't go down that route. I mean, my parents, you know, you have parents that are sick, you have people, elderly people that have diabetes and whatnot, cancer and whatnot. If I can't test them, if I'm just going based off of a hunch, or based off of, you know, today you're positive, or today's going to be negative, tomorrow you're positive, then we shouldn't test anybody. But actually, every study that shows that testing is incredibly important. That's kind of a non-thing, actually. It's kind of interesting when people come up with that.
Right. 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK for your questions and comments as more Georgia businesses have reopened today during this last week, theoretically, of our shelter in place. Wes Moss, the governor, as is his custom, is well-versed in the statistics and the medical part of this and can explain it or can call on Dr. Toomey when he doesn't think that he can. But he is most impassioned when he gets to talking about the business part of this and the small businesses who, you know, could only last another week or two and we could go into a depression, he even said today, if we keep up that way. This seems to be what weighs on him most of all.
I wrote something for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution for this Sunday, and obviously anytime you talk about reopening, it's going to create polarization. And I can see both sides of this really easily. I think some of the optics around what he opened, he probably could have saved himself a lot of criticism for that. But I think as far as getting the engine restarted, even if you're looking politically, there was an article in the New York Times this weekend that they quoted the CEO of the Cleveland Clinic and effectively said that America keeps waiting for COVID-19 to go down to zero. And the most popular website in America is that everyone looks at, including the White House, I've used it on Money Matters for a long time, is the IHME, the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation. And you can go state by state, and you can see basically what looks like a bell curve for COVID-19. And it peaks up, and then after about a month and a half or 2 months, it looks as though it goes away. I think, unfortunately, the prevalence of that website that's become the de facto, hey, here's where we get peak COVID and then it goes away, is actually very misleading and very wrong. And what we need to be able to do, and I'll explain that when we get back from break, because it's a really important point, Chris.
Okay, we can certainly do that. So restaurants, theaters can open as of today, did they? Would you brave it? That's what we're talking about tonight, 8:20 at WSB. It's 8:25 at WSB.
It all starts off with Waffle House. What can't get any more American than Waffle House, right?
She was just waiting to get into a Waffle House in Brookhaven this Monday morning as more businesses opened up in Georgia. 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Want to hear from you tonight. We've got our health and money and political experts with us again tonight. We're discussing coronavirus, where Georgia stands tonight. Sandra Parrish, due to social distancing and remote technology, you are in a different part of the state than Bill Crane and I. Have you been out and about today? What are you seeing there? Things open, things closed? Anybody out?
Actually, I've not left my house today.
Wow, good. Good lady. Will we
hear? No, but you know, over the weekend, it's to me, it does look like business as usual because you got your big box stores haven't closed. Now, when you get into the little downtown areas, the towns of North Georgia, you know, it's pretty sparse. You've got curbside service at these restaurants. So it remains to be seen if those restaurants are going to reopen. But I talked to a lot of Atlanta restaurants who say they were not going to reopen. And, you know, some of them never even went to curbside either.
You're living in an area where tourism is a very, very big part of the economy. They are, I'm sure, waiting this out with bated breath. Are they impatient?
It's kind of divided because you've got the locals, who want to stay to themselves. They don't want outsiders from Metro Atlanta coming up to the mountains. Then you got your cabin rental owners, who have been hurting tremendously during this time because they've had to shut down rentals. And we do need to mention, Chris, the governor, as of today, is going to lift that ban on vacation rentals as of April 30th. Now, he had extended that just last Thursday night to May 13th. And so, during the course of the weekend, he has changed his mind, and he is going to allow that ban on short-term rentals to end on April 30th, when it actually was originally set to end. It remains to be seen if the locals now will pass their own ordinances, though, to continue that.
Right, Bill, we hit this pretty often, but it's always worth pointing out, Atlanta is not Georgia, and every county and every region of Georgia has its own problems and its own level of difficulty with the coronavirus and its own reasons for wanting to get back to business.
Well, and they also don't want Atlanta to come to them.
Yeah.
Whether they're a beach community or a mountain community where Sandy lives, they don't want Atlantans to bring those germs and viruses
That's right.
up there. So, but the reality is, whether you're down in Albany, which is one of the hottest hotspots, or on the Georgia coast, the economy is suffering. People are out of work. Small businesses in particular, as Wes said in his Sunday column in the AJC, may not make it until that second round of SBA funding is available. So they have little choice. I was glad to see Waffle House, an Atlanta-based company with 11,000 employees, 700 of them in Atlanta, reopening today. I went and did takeout at a favorite Waffle House location on Saturday, and where they've been having one person running the grill and doing all the service on this store, there were three people in there Saturday morning prepping for Monday, doing a deep clean of the store, getting ready to have thermometers, if patients or customers are coming in and they determine that they're doing anything that looks like they may be a health risk to the other customers, and getting a higher standard of cleanliness in a chain that's pretty much known for that in the first place.
30 seconds. You think Governor Kemp is doing a good job talking to the whole state?
I thought today's press conference was a very strong performance, both in terms of his grasp of the issues. And like we said at the top of the hour, he was a little prickly when probed on some of his data sources and whether or not he was in compliance with the federal standards for going to stage one. But Texas is opening up this Friday, and they're basically opening everything with limits on how many people can be in an establishment at a given time.
Same with Tennessee. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. If you're on the line, hang on through the news, and I'll check the open mics here while Jennifer Griffiths is speaking to you, get you some of those as well. 850 at WSB. Governor Kemp, just how bad could things get if we continue in this vein?
We are looking at depression like unemployment. We are, facing hardships now of trying to feed everybody.
Gary's in Atlanta on WSB, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Gary, economic worries will likely continue for quite some time, and there are any number of things to worry about.
What about the possibility of hyperinflation occurring because you just interjected $2.5 trillion into the money supply? There's only 350 million Americans.
Well, let's ask Wes Moss about that, Wes. Somebody's got a printing press somewhere, clearly.
That's true. I mean, we have printed a ton of money and dumped trillions of dollars into the monetary base over the past in a very short period of time. What's interesting about that is that you will see inflation from that. However, we have such economic strife right now. We're going to have a 30% decline in GDP. That's an annualized number. If we don't wait to reopen until June, that'll be a 60% GDP decline. And that's part of what the governor's talking about, whether it's you're talking about recession or depression. So really, we're going to have deflation before we even have a whiff of inflation. The inflation will be welcome news at some point because it means the economy is kind of back up and running. That is a problem in the future. And probably a bigger issue is the debt we're accumulating because of this. That's another real issue. But I'm not worried about inflation over the intermediate term, the next year or two at all.
Dr. Adeshami, let's talk to you. When we had you on, I think maybe it was 3-4 weeks ago, you had some pretty intense stories from the ER. You know, what have you seen that's any difference, or have you seen anything different? Is it still that intense for you?
Hey, yeah. Actually, so our number of patients has gone down, but our level of acuity has at the least stayed the same. So what I mean by that is that our shelter in place was effective. People did stay home and do what they were asked to do. And people that truly needed care did come to see us. In the way of COVID-19, I've seen a lot of that still. I'm still seeing very sick COVID-19 patients and minimally sick COVID-19 patients. So that, in that way, that has not changed for me.
And tell us about the age and gender of the patients you see. You know, we hear about the elderly and medically vulnerable, but and then we hear that the younger people are susceptible as well. Is there any real pattern to what you see?
So that has been such a strange thing for me. This whole thing has turned my medical world upside down. So when this thing first started, yeah, it was the frail, the elderly, that population. But the past, I would say, maybe past week and a half, it's definitely changed to be more younger patients that are coming in to be tested, but that I'm actually having findings on their CAT scans. So that's made me nervous. I know that I've sent a couple of younger patients, one being 40 years old, to the ICU. So yes, that has changed.
Jim's in Buckhead on WSB with a question, Jim, that I imagine the doctor can answer for us. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I think Jim's talking to his wife, Chris.
I think it sounds like it. All right, Jim, going once, going twice. All right, he was going to ask about, doctor, let's just ask you anyway, about the antibody testing and how quickly it might proceed and what really it might eventually demonstrate that we might not suspect right now.
Great question. I'm glad that he asked that. So the antibody test, unfortunately, my answer is we don't know much about it. Like they're doing all the research on it. They're studying it. And obviously something that's going to be pertinent. If you think about our hepatitis panels that we have to do before going to college and whatnot, it's going to be something of that sort. But the problem is right now, we don't really know what the numbers mean. And until we figure that out, we just have to go based on the plus and minus. Now, I wonder if you don't mind just like 10 seconds so I could kind of talk about the first question somebody asked me about, well, what's the point of getting a test when today I'll be negative, tomorrow I'll be positive? I was kind of thinking about it. And so the big issue with that is, or the big takeaway from that is that we need to be able to test in big numbers. Yeah, testing one person, one out of 20, being negative, it doesn't mean anything. But you make that a big size population, then that is when you start seeing that, yes, it does make a difference.
404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. You can use the open mic to send us a question or a comment as well. Here's from the open mic, and this is not very nice, but Bill Crane, it demonstrates, I think, the frustration.
Hey, WSB, I've got a plan for reopening the economy. Cut people's checks off like Mayor Bottoms and Fauci and Deborah Birx, and let's see how fast everything reopens. I guarantee you, if they were without a paycheck, we'd be open tomorrow.
Now, this nice fellow does not mention cutting off Pence or Kemp's checks, and of course, Birx and Fauci were handpicked by President Trump to be on this task force. But Bill, it's frustration. People, they're tired of waiting, I think, and they're tired of being told to wait.
Well, there's the partisan aspect to it. There's the divide that the nation has. And then there's just people who have not experienced yet or don't know anyone who's caught this virus. And so, you know, there's a whole conspiracy that this is all made up, as we heard a listener on Mark Arum's show. It's real. I know people who've died. I know people in New York and California who are seriously ill. It's certainly something we got to be cautious about, but similarly, we have to cautiously start taking steps to regenerate business and open this economy, and that will not, no matter what we do, happen overnight, nor will customers flow back at normal speed.
Got a friend who's a singer who was in the hospital with this for 3 weeks and still isn't sure he'll get his full voice back. You know, it's interesting, people who will say, I don't know anybody that has that, as if it's an accusation or a conspiracy. I think, you know, some of these folks
should
just get
out.
We
can ask the doctor, but we understand that it's causing brain damage. It's causing any number of things besides the damage to the lungs.
You know, Chris, another thing that I would add to all of this, and it's such a double-edged sword because I think that the original goal for stay at home was to have hospital capacity.
Right.
So Jack. Doctors like Ahmad could actually treat people. And then I had mentioned earlier the website that the White House watches, that most of America watches, which is the IHME data that kind of suggests, the picture suggests that we're going to have a spike and then it basically goes away over the course of the early summer. The numbers go down to virtually zero. That, unfortunately, is not the case. We've heard last week, I think a very important antibody testing out of New York, 20% of the city of New York has this and 14% of the entire state. That means it's so widespread that the reality of it just going to zero by June or July is zero. The chances of getting to zero are zero. The chances of going to a depression by that point are very high if we don't get restarted. And that's this careful balance. And nobody wants to lose any more life, and nobody wants to have people go bankrupt and businesses close because then we won't have any businesses to hire people back. So it's this careful of threading the needle that societally and collectively we need to figure out a way, like the business owners that we've heard here on WSB, that are doing everything in their power, humanly possible, to make their patrons and their employees safe, because we're going to have to learn to live with this, unfortunately.
8:45 at 95.5 WSB. I'm Chris Chandler, Sandra Parrish, and Bill Crane. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because it doesn't really affect any of our lives, but it certainly has been notable and all over the national press. Here's our president.
I wasn't happy with Brian Kemp.
Two nights in a row, he went along in that vein. Governor Kemp answered back sort of today.
You said you agree with the president on how the media is dividing us. What did you mean by that?
Well, I think, you know, I'll give you a good example. It's all these stories about our plan to lift business registrations. And I'm not signaling you out, but I'm just saying some were giving us a very hard time, thought it was irresponsible. They wrote how deadly it was. And then in the follow-up article after I did it, they said it was largely symbolic, didn't really matter, because we never really closed that many businesses to start with. What is the public supposed to think? I mean, you're speaking out of both sides of your mouth. And that's what gets so frustrated in this. Many news organizations just report the truth, they report the facts. But then you have some that the truth and the facts are one way before you do something, and it's completely different after.
So shouldn't you just call out those specific organizations rather than just say the media in general?
Well, that's a point that's well taken.
Now let's talk about that, Sandra. Conciliatory or craven? Going after the media is about the easiest cheap political trick there is. I understand he's frustrated. I have to say, of Governor Kemp, that's uncharacteristic. What do you think?
It is uncharacteristic, but you know, he has taken a lot of hits from a lot of different people. And ironically, he said he didn't really mind the ones on social media, which those are the ones that I have seen so much over the weekend, criticizing him for reopening these. You know, the local media, we have a pretty good relationship with him. We cover him, you know, every legislative session, you know, anytime he has a news conference, we're there. The one reporter who's kind of started all this today was an NBC reporter, and he kind of lashed out on her pretty hard. And I think he's definitely just taking a page from the president's book. I mean, you know, we see this day in and day out for President Trump's briefings that he has. I mean, he's calling out media right and left, and, you know, it's kind of a back and forth thing. And I guess we're just not used to it here in Georgia, but I think that's probably what we saw today, was you had a person from the national network, and he was doing the same thing that President Trump does.
Well, you and we have certainly not done anything to deserve that. And you heard when they called him out, he was actually chastened. You know, he said, well, point taken. And, you know,
I think that's because there are those of us local reporters who cover him day in and day out ourselves. And, you know, I think I don't know any one of us that I could name offhand who's ever been unfair to him. We've always reported the facts and, you know, just like you're supposed to do in the media. So I think that's probably he caught himself thinking
all right,
that.
Enough of that. This is self-absorbed. Bill Crane, 30 seconds on Kemp v. Trump. By every behind-the-scenes account, Trump and Pence told Kemp to knock himself out and I'll be supportive. And the very next day and then the day after that, President Trump very promptly pulled the rug out from under him. And yet Kemp today towed the line.
This will be yesterday's news. If things go well, if things go badly, this will be the beginning of the obituary of Governor Kemp in his second term. I think things will go well.
Brian is an LJ on WSB. Here it is 8:48. And Brian, what's your question? What's your comment here? Have you braved a restaurant, movie theater, or tattoo parlor today?
Well, I would like to brave my own restaurant, but we're not ready to open yet.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very grateful that the governor gave us the opportunity to be open. I just feel like it's not safe enough for our employees and our customers, so we're taking a very cautious approach. But what I wanted to ask about was I'm a fortunate recipient of the PPP loan, and I'm grateful for it. I'm excited to have the funds, but this eight-week window that I have to spend it in so that it becomes forgivable, given the virus, what we don't know, how it's spread and so forth, and my decision to delay the opening really handcuffs me and makes this very difficult, because if the intention of the loan is to save small business, this eight-week window makes it incredibly difficult for us to navigate properly to be safe.
It is my understanding, this is Bill Crane, that in the third package, third round of funding, they're going to revisit that legislation. The National Restaurant Association and all the state associations have made very clear that though the intent was to keep you from laying people off and give you critical capital during this eight-week period, there's an understanding because the closure orders may last longer in some states that they need to extend that. And they can, because it's basically the terms of the SBA guidelines and from Treasury. So it can be amended. It hasn't yet.
Coronavirus, where Georgia stands on this, another important day in Georgia's part of the pandemic story. Alan Sanders to take your telephone calls, a reaction to what has happened Friday, today, what's coming up the rest of this week. That's after this program. We have a few more minutes, though. Stay with us, 850 at WSB. It is 5 minutes to nine at WSB. I'm Chris Chandler. Smiling Mark McKay here is with us for our last segment because, Mark, one thing we've used as a bellwether for this last few days is to find out how people are getting out, if they're getting out, who's going to work, who's not, is whether the traffic has picked up. What did you see today?
I can tell you that we've been waiting on the push since we've been shut down, since the stay-at-home or the shelter-in-place order has been issued. When we do have traffic issues, it's when we actually have an issue on the roadways. I've noticed a buildup in volume this morning during the afternoons for our newlywed friend Doug Turnbull today and through the rest of the week. So we're seeing a tick of volume, but no major hassles unless we have multiple lanes knocked out. And, of course, you know, everybody's doing well above the speed limit these days as well.
And so you think probably today is what we'll see the rest of this week at least?
I think so. The Mondays have been kind of the lighter of the week. You know, it'll build as the week goes on. One note that I hadn't flown in the afternoon since we've been under this, and so we were flying 85 north the corridor between Jimmy Carter Boulevard and Pleasant Hill Road. All the apartment complex that's on each side of the interstate completely full at about 4:50 or 5 in the afternoon. That struck me that everybody's still home in big numbers, at least along the that corridor that I saw today.
Gotcha. Let's make a round robin here at the end. Let's forget all the expertise and scientific and financial talk. We've heard so much of this. We hear 30% drop in GDP. We hear shelter in place. I play a piano at a church on Sunday. We're in the fifth or sixth week of virtual church service, and I'm looking out at a big blank empty room, and I just stopped Sunday and said, can you believe this doesn't seem unusual anymore? You know, take a step back. Let's each give a sentence or two or even a word. It's crazy times, Bill.
28 days and we form new habits. That's my column this week. And try to use those days more like 66 well and form some good new habits.
Mark McKay.
I think will rush hours really come back with the intensity that they've had? Is this the new norm, working from home?
Wes Moss.
There's some real benefits once we do go back. The business costs and the cost structure for companies because of virtual work, it's actually going to be a positive for a lot of businesses, and I look forward to that.
And, Doctor, we have about 30 seconds left. I can't imagine you expect to see anything like this again in your lifetime, or certainly hope not.
Well, I certainly hope not. This has been very tiring. I would say to everybody, if y'all could just continue to have hope. I'm incredibly optimistic despite my tone and voice throughout this whole hour. I'm still optimistic. check on your neighbors, especially if you know a nurse or a doctor. Our mental health has been problematic. So that would be a good and helpful thing.
Certainly so. Sandra Parrish, last word.
I think I'm getting used to working from home, and that's kind of odd being a reporter. But I love being out in the field. I do, and I miss it. I can't wait to get back out there when we can.
Crazy days. We miss you. Sabrina Cupid and Bill Caiaccio and I love each other, though we do. We're getting awfully tired of staring at each other for hours on end every day. Every time somebody comes in new for just a minute, it's like fresh meat. You're like, hello, hello. And I'm sure a lot of you are having that same experience. All right, Alan Sanders is going to take your telephone calls about what you've seen, if you've been out today, if you haven't, if you're too worried about going out, all those things. He's on from 9 to 11 tonight as Georgia's shelter in place continues, lifted slightly for a few businesses. I'm Chris Chandler. Good evening.